There's a blurb on the back of the book that says the poetry in this book, All Fire, All Water, is both hymn and celebration. And one can get that, that there is a very alive inner life, the very alive spirituality. How would you describe that spirituality?
That's a good question, Paul. I am right now teaching a class called The Poetics of Spirituality, and I'm trying to answer that question for myself. It's a very challenging class, and I'm very stressed trying to figure out what exactly who to teach. Not, you know, it's such an incredibly wide, wide thing. What is it? It's transformative. It's something that rises us up above and maybe even down below, if we're talking, you know, unconscious in depth, as we were, of our ordinary consciousness. It's got to be a different thing than our ordinary consciousness, the spirituality in poetry. So in this class, we keep discussing, what is it? What does it mean? Is it about God necessarily? No, I don't think so.
It's not about God as a punishing bearded white man
well,
in the sky.
Well, certainly not.
Right.
Is it about, you know, some supreme being, even if it's a nice one? And I don't think so. I always say poetry is my spiritual practice, and it is getting, you know, that leap to something else, both up and down. And I use that, that's a metaphor too. And I got that from James Hillman, who says, soul goes down deep and spirit goes up. And so, you know, that becomes a metaphor that is this true? I don't know, you know, but it's a metaphor that works for me. So I'm trying to both go deep and high, spirit and soul at the same time.
Who are some of the people you're teaching in the class?
Oh, we started with Rilke, Dueno Elegies, all the angels, and went to Lorca, because the angels are high. We went to Lorca and Duende, and so I taught the Duende essay and some Lorca poetry, some Sherman Alexie, you know, because he definitely is lots of spirit.
Which he would disagree with, I think. He says he's not a spiritual person. And
yeah,
I think that's his reaction to people who assume all Indian people are spiritual.
But it's in the poems. Also, I happen to know that Sherman is a practicing Catholic.
There you have it. And so yeah. When I hear that, I think that's more akin to the spirituality that you might have had growing up in a place like Detroit, which, you know, probably reinforced some things you weren't ready to believe, that men were in charge or, you know, a patriarch or
hierarchical. I sure didn't get that from my family.
Right.
But, yeah, it was all around me. In fact, I grew up thinking the whole world was Catholic except for a very few Protestants. And I realized, no, actually the country is largely Protestant and Catholics are minority.
Absolutely.
But, anyway, I am also teaching Gary Snyder and Wendell Berry and Blake and Rumi and such.
Well, that leads us to Prayer Vigil. It's a prose poem on page 95. It's also an elegy, and I think it might be a good place to end this.
Patricia Monahan is a wonderful poet, died 3 years ago. And a very deep, deep friend, and I learned much from Patricia Monahan. And she part of a group that I belong to called Black Earth Institute, an organization that, works on, tries to promote social justice, spirituality.
And a deep sense of place.
Yeah, and the sense, deep sense of place, yeah. And so anyway, while Patricia was dying, a number of us around the country were holding a prayer vigil. At a certain time, we'd sit and pray and feel each other and Patricia. So, prayer vigil. If we are sad beyond knowing, we meet every evening in prayer time. hold hands with our minds. It's a single idea, but the days put on such reticence. Between pain and sleep and morphine. Between being happy when she is awake and relieved when she sleeps. When we were pagan mamas in Duluth, many hatchet-faced women came to our reading ready to protest us, and we laughed about it later. I am 2,000 miles away. I would be in the way now. There, even he, her best beloved, could be in the way, but his nearness eases her way. She is working so hard to do what she has to do. She's finding the base, her root of truth, this red-haired girl from the bog. Maybe she dreamed the world. She searches for breadcrumbs along the trail, holding minds in hands from New York to Wisconsin to the Arctic Circle to Seattle grounds us. A cairn or two could point the way, rock on rock. 11 moose in one day in the Chena River and more beaver than I could count. Are we past old stories? Is that part of the project here? She is in the process. She slips the surly bonds, this girl of the north. We hold minds in our hands. I heard about a three-masted schooner hovering just above the water for someone. Look, look, he said. I've never seen such a big ship on these waters before. No one else could see it, but it sailed him away. Angels have come. Someone for you beyond our kin. You will not be alone. The emptying of the house.
Hatchet-faced women.
Oh, well, Patricia and I did a we did a reading tour when both of us had new books. It was this one. And around the Midwest. And she set it up and we went, you know, to many, many places. And when we... and it was... she made a little a poster, a Pagan Mama tour. So that was up. When we went to Duluth, all these hatchet-faced women showed up ready to fight the Pagan Mamas. We started reading our poems and they just kind of, you know, like...
Went away. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hatchet-faced.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds like something you get from a dream, huh?
Well, I don't know.
It's great.
Yeah.
I think that more than anything really gives us a sense of your spirituality, and that's really beautiful.
Thank you.
I'm grateful for your time.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to do.